All right, take your Bibles and turn back with me, if you will, to the second chapter of the book of Jonah. Jonah, chapter 2. It's hard to believe that we've been 12 weeks already in this book, and we're only down the second chapter. Or so. And tonight we have a lesson for every one of us, the conflict between reason and faith. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. You've heard it before, but I'm going to tell you again so that you'll understand it without any hesitation. And that is this. If you're a believer here tonight, you have a conflict going on between reason and faith in your life. Now you do. Faith comes and says, you ought to do this. Reason immediately says, how can you do it? You haven't got the means. Now, this conflict starts when God awakens a sinner. You see, today, in today's religion, people don't know what salvation's all about. They just don't. And when Mr. Johnson was here yesterday and today, we were talking last night. He said something about salvation. I said, Dave, I said, salvation is a crisis. I said, it's Christ or hell. And salvation is a traumatic experience. Now, Doug Thompson is telling the kids over there at the Bible school in Ontario that, and it's shaken the whole place to pieces. They think he's gone charismatic. He hasn't. But salvation is a traumatic experience. What you experience on the road to Christ, you've never experienced before, you never will again. And when people get tired of hearing this, well, you put it down. They've never gotten to Christ to begin with. Because I'm going to tell you right now, as I was reading this passage this past week, I said, Lord, give me a message out of this. And he brought me a message on conflict, the conflict between reason and faith. Now, if you're here tonight without Christ, you haven't got any faith. And you can't get saved until God grants you faith. And tonight we're going to show you from the Word of God what happens when God gives you faith. My hope is that it'll be so plain that everybody will walk out of here and say, how come I never saw it like that before? And you'll go home, praise the Lord, because He saved you. Now you look with me. Jonah chapter 2. And beginning with verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought out my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now let's look at this for just a few moments. We have two things tonight that we want to look at. And we find, once again, we're going to look at Jonah, the type of the sinner today. Now, if you're not saved at this hour, this is your condition, whether you realize it or not. Now, if you don't realize it with your heart, it means that God hasn't awakened you as yet. If you do realize it with your heart, you'll be sitting there saying, preacher, how in the world can you describe my condition so clearly? because it'll seem as though I'm speaking directly to you and about you and about nobody else in this room. But that isn't necessarily so. You see, when God sets out to save a sinner, the Lord never shows that sinner His grace until, first of all, He shows that sinner His wrath. Now, keep that in mind. We have a lot of people today, you know, they're talking about all the time, they're talking about the love of God. The love of God. Oh, the love of God. Don't go to that church over here in Elmont. He don't talk about the love of God. He talks about the wrath of God. You come down to my group and we'll just talk about the love of God. And they don't know anything about the Lord God of heaven. Now, beloved, you had to put it down. Before you get saved, if you ever do, you're going to experience these things in your own soul. Now, you say, well, Pastor, does it have to be exactly like you lay it out? No, not necessarily. Because the Lord God of heaven, when He saves and deals with a person, He deals with that person according to that person's own characteristics. You see, that's why salvation is particular. And that's why salvation is peculiar. But as we study the Word of God, and we see that our Lord dealt with Lydia on one manner, He dealt with Jonah on another manner. He dealt with Peter in the third manner. Yet they all had the same characteristics in God's dealing with them. And that'll be true with you too. That's why wherever you go and you run into somebody that knows the Lord, you'll immediately have fellowship with them. Because when you sit down and talk with them, and the first thing you'll say is, bless the Lord, and they'll come along and say, bless the Lord, and first thing you do, tell me how the Lord saved you. And they'll sit down and tell you. I had a phone call yesterday from Louisiana. The dear mother has a daughter that's been under conviction for a number of years, and the daughter keeps asking her mother, well, Mother, if I come to this place, am I saved? I said, what'd you tell her? She said, honey, the only person that can tell you you're saved is Christ. That's right. I said, you always throw her back on Christ. Now, you put that down. Don't you ever tell anybody that they're saved. If you do, you're interjecting yourself into the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's wrong. Because no man can confess that Jesus is the Lord but by or through the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to the sinner's heart, that sinner knows that he knows it, and he'll tell you instead of you telling them. A number of years ago, I used to do this. I was known as one of the greatest soul winners that ever hit that particular town in Louisiana. I walked the streets of Chicago for 3 years, wouldn't go to bed, until I led a person on a profession. I don't think any of them ever got saved. They may have later on, but not through me. Because I could take them down the Romans Road, and I could tell them to this, and I'd say, come on, get on your knees and let's pray. And I've led many a man on Clark Street, which is the Skid Row of Chicago, many a man on Clark Street was on his knees, and I was open had with open Bible. I said, now you pray after me. And the next night they'd go out and get drunk. And yet they were saved? No. No, I'll tell you. When God saves the sinner, before He does, He deals with that individual. And He shows that individual his condition before the Lord. And our Lord makes us look inside. And as we look inside, we see ourselves as God sees us. And it isn't a very pleasant sight. Now, Jonah. Jonah is a picture or a type of the sinner today. He's a picture of you. And this is the way you are tonight. If you're not saved, then may God write it upon your heart. So that you'll become like Jonah. as he was in the fish's belly. All right, now let's look at Jonah for just a moment or two. Four things stand out about Jonah. In Jonah chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, we find that Jonah was under God's wrath because of his personal disobedience against the Lord. Now you say, how do you know? Look at verse 3 and 4. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now here is Jonah in the fish's belly. Why was he there? Because of his personal disobedience against the Lord God of heaven. Now any individual in this room tonight that's without the Lord Jesus Christ is under the wrath of God because of your personal disobedience against the Lord. Now you turn to John chapter 3. And let me show you if I may. In John chapter 3, and beginning with verse 18, down through verse 21, we read these words. Listen to it. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now let's look at that. Here we find in verse 18, a sinner is condemned because he doesn't believe Christ. All right? I'm going to ask you a question tonight, sinner friend. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior? Yes or no? Some of you say, no, I don't. All right, then you're condemned. You're not going to be, already are. You're under a reprieve. And that reprieve means this, that God will allow you to live a certain length of time, and then you go out into eternity. And if you don't get saved, when that reprieve ends, the death angel will come after you, and the demons will escort you into hell, because they'll chase you out of this world. But you are now under the settled anger of the Lord God of heaven, because of your personal disobedience against the Lord. And I'm going to ask you a question. Why don't you believe Christ? What is it about him that causes you to disbelieve him? Want me to tell you? Verse 19, look at what it says. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Here's the reason people don't believe Christ. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? All right, they don't believe Christ because they love darkness. You see, every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ is blinded by Satan. Satan has blinded the mind of that individual. And that individual is in darkness, and he loves that darkness, and he's sealed in that darkness until the Lord God of heaven shine in with the light of the gospel. You remember when our Lord created the world? We read that the earth became void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, this planet was nothing one day but a mess. It was a mess. It wasn't a beautiful, orderly planet that it is now. It was a mess. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the way a sinner is. A sinner is blinded in darkness by sin. He loves that darkness, and like I said before, he's sealed in that darkness until God shines in with the light of the gospel. And in the first chapter of Genesis, we read, the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. And when God says, let there be light, in that sinner's soul, the Spirit of God pierces your soul and makes you realize that you're a sinner. And when you begin to realize that you're a sinner, it's because the light of God is shining in your heart. Now look again. In verse 19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Anybody here tonight that's never told a lie in your life? Anybody here tonight that's never sworn, never used taking God's name in vain? Anybody here tonight that's never cheated on your neighbor? Anybody here tonight that's never stolen anything? Every one of us have. Anybody here tonight that never dishonored their father and their mother? Our deeds are evil. And because our deeds are evil, we are under God's wrath. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Many a person has come into this church and gotten angry at this preacher because the Holy Spirit of God has put his finger upon something in their life and has told them they better repent of it and they don't want to do it. Some of them get very angry when I preach on tithing. Anybody that doesn't tithe unto the Lord God of heaven is a thief and a robber. God said so. Malachi chapter 1. Your tithe doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord God of heaven. And you are to bring and will bring it to the storehouse of God, which is the church where you're being fed. And if you're not being fed, don't give a dime. But when you don't do it, your deeds are evil. And people get angry and they say, well, all that preacher wants is my money. No, their money is more important to them than their soul. They're under God's wrath. Now, Jonah was under the wrath of God. And Jonah is a picture of the sinner because Jonah was put in the dark place in the fish's belly, picturing a sinner living in darkness. And Jonah was put there because of his disobedience against the Lord, and every sinner tonight is under God's anger and in darkness because of his disobedience against God. Now look again, if you read John chapter 3, and look at verse 20. We find that men love darkness because their deeds were evil. But there's another thing I want to notice. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And you know, a sinner doesn't want to come clean until God makes it. You see, every one of us, even as believers, we still have the tendency of pushing the blame off on everybody else. We still have that tendency. Yet down deep, we've taken the blame before the Lord God of heaven. We still have that tendency because we're in this old flesh. Well, I didn't do it, and you're not going to put the blame on me. And a sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want to have his deeds reproved until God opens his heart. Now, I look over the congregation. I notice some of you. Some of you down through the years, you came once in a while, and then you dropped out for a while, and you didn't come again. And now, praise the Lord, you're beginning to come regularly. It tells me one thing. God's got to be doing something in your heart. You know why? If he didn't, you wouldn't be here. Because this type of preaching doesn't raise many followers. It stirs up a lot of people's hearts. And the average individual doesn't like to be told this. A few months ago, I came to the school board of Almont High School, and I asked them point blank, I said, all right, what is your policy on sexual harassment and immorality? And woo! It blew the volcano open. They tried to cover it up. It can't be covered up any longer. But you see, they all became angry because I laid the thing on the table and said, all right, let's face facts and let's deal with it. And they didn't want to do it. And that's where every sinner is until God opens that sinner's heart. Men love darkness, for their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now, sinner, I'm going to say this to you kindly. Is this your condition tonight? Are you admitting it before the Lord? Or are you fighting? Jonah was in the fish's belly. And Jonah knew. And he knew that he knew it. That he was there because of God's anger. And he was there because of his disobedience. And when the Holy Spirit of the Lord opens a sinner's heart, one of the first things he shows that sinner is if that he is under the judgment and wrath of God Almighty because of his own personal disobedience against the Lord. He hasn't got time to look at anybody else's sin. He's too busy looking in his own. He hasn't got time to poke his finger at somebody else. No, sir. He's busy looking inside his own soul. And what he sees isn't very pleasant. All right, there's the second thing about Jonah. Jonah was not only under the wrath of God, but Jonah was also in darkness, and I mentioned that, but he was facing death. Now look again, if you will. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now notice, out of the belly of Sheol, or Hades, or as the English translation is, out of the belly of hell I cry. And notice, and thou heardest my voice. Then skip down in verses 5 and 6. Jonah was not only in darkness here, but we find he was facing death. Notice what he said. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. Now notice. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Now here's the second thing. Not only has a sinner learned what it means to be under the wrath of God because of his own disobedience, but a sinner learns also the reality of a hell that waits him. You see, you don't have to talk to an awakened sinner about the reality of hell. They know that. How do they know it? God has written it on their soul. They know that if they leave this earth without the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to a devil's hell. And it bothers them a great deal, and it should. They won't poke fun of hell, not an awakened sinner. No, sir. It's become a living reality to them like it was to Jonah. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell I cried. And the sinner will do the same thing. Because God makes a sinner to taste that. And Jonah here knew that he was under the sentence of death, and so does the sinner. Now you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we find in verses 9 and 10, the scripture brings out very clearly, as Paul penned it for us in this first chapter, and Paul said these words, look at it, in verse 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians 1, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now look at that. Take that apart for just a moment. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, and the reason is this, that we should not trust in ourselves. Why does God deal with a sinner like that? To bring that sinner to the end of his way. To bring that sinner to the place where that individual will trust the Lord Jesus Christ instead of trusting himself. And you see, when an individual misses Holy Spirit conviction, and the vast majority are missing it today, they have the idea that they've had something to do with their salvation. Well, I accepted Jesus, or I did this, and I did that. I don't see Jonah doing that. I don't see Paul saying that. Paul said, I had the sentence of death in myself that I should not trust myself. And if the Lord is opening your heart or has opened your heart, you realize even at this hour, right now, that you're in the execution room of the Lord God of heaven. You're on death row, sinner. And as I heard Chuck Colson a week or so ago, he's speaking about death row. Immediately I was about ready to stand up and say, Chuck, you may have experienced that physically, but I've experienced it spiritually. Have you? You've been on death row? We had the sentence of death in ourselves, and Jonah, out of the belly of hell, I cried. You see, he was in darkness. And he was facing death, and he said, the earth with her bars were about me forever. Which means eternity. And my sinner friend tonight, you that are here without the Lord Jesus, can you say this is your condition? Is it really your condition? If it is, I'm going to tell you something. You're troubled. And well, you should be. And you that profess to know the Lord, have you ever traveled this route? Come on now. Has God ever dealt with you like this? If he never has, my friend, how do you know you've come to know him? Because my Lord rescues sinners. And my Lord has come to save the lost. And here Jonah is a picture of a lost sinner. And if you've never been lost, you've never been found. And if you've never been in the death row, you don't know what it means to be delivered. But our Lord says we have been delivered. Because salvation is a deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ of the sinner from the kingdom of darkness and death and eternity in hell. It's the deliverance of that sinner by blood and power, translating that sinner into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which means eternal life. And the individual never gets away from it. All right, but now there's a third thing about Jonah. Go back, if you will, to Jonah 2. We find the third thing about Jonah was this. Jonah was unable to do one thing to deliver himself. I was reading a preacher this past week as he talked about Jonah. He said, oh, Jonah must have been a kicking and a snorting and a squirming as he slid down the throat of that great big old fish. And he said, I bet that when he stayed there in those 3 days a night, he said, I bet he kicked and fussed and fumed and stormed all the time he was there. He probably gave the fish a good taste of indigestion. Well, I don't know whether he did or not. But I do know this, that Jonah knew. And he knew that he knew it. He was unable to do one thing to effect his deliverance. Now you say, how do you know that? All right, look at verses 5 and 6. Notice, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Notice that. He couldn't do one thing. And then to show you that he knew that he couldn't, these words were also penned. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So who delivered Jonah? God did. Now who delivered you if you're saved tonight? Was it the Lord Jesus Christ? If it wasn't, then you haven't been converted. And when God deals with a sinner in conviction, that individual learns that he is unable to do one thing to deliver himself. Now here's where I go off base, as it were, from according to a lot of people. I don't care much for these tracts. I've got these little prayers there, sign your name on a dotted line. And they have a track here, and they read that track, and at the close of that track, they say, now, here, make your confession. And it says here, I realize that I'm a sinner, and that Jesus died for my sins, and the best way I know how, I now accept Jesus as my Savior, and you sign your name. And you mail it in, and they'll tell you that you're saved. Wait a minute. Salvation is a rescue. Salvation is the sinner being delivered from drowning when he's going down the third time. And Jonah knew that he could not effect one thing for his own deliverance. Are you in that category tonight? Some of you, I hope you're in this category. You're saying, preacher, I wish I was saved. Oh, I wish the Lord would save me. Will the Lord ever save me? You have a hunger and a thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ, and you realize that if
anybody's going to save you, it's got to be the Lord and nobody else. You in that category tonight? If you are, you're in a terrible state, but yet you're also in a very glorious state. You're in a terrible state because you don't know what to do. And mankind always wants to do something if he can. When the Lord first begins to deal with a sinner, that sinner, oh, I want to get saved right away because he don't want to go through that misery that he's in. But God doesn't save us just to get us out of that misery. You see, he saves us for the glory of his grace. And salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. And when the Lord opens the sinner's heart and deals with that individual, that individual comes to realize that there is not one thing he can do to deliver himself. Jonah couldn't get out of that fish's belly. I don't care how much he cried and prayed and kicked and fussed and stormed and got angry and even gave up in despair. He was there until God got him out of it. And in like manner, when the Holy Spirit brings that sinner into the delivery room of the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit will relieve that sinner. Nobody else can. And anybody that tries meddles with the work of God. And don't you ever forget it. All right, there's one more thing that Jonah knew. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, we read these words. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now notice this sentence. Salvation is of the Lord. Now what's the fourth thing that Jonah learned? The same thing that every sinner learns as God deals with that sinner's heart. And that is this. That individual is under God's discretion. The Lord doesn't have to save anybody. Do you know that? Now you stop and realize this. You ask yourself this question, believer, or so-called believer, if I may use that term. What was there in you that caused God to save you? Oh, you say, well, I went to church all my life, and I was the daughter of a deacon, or I was the daughter or the wife of a deacon, or the wife of a Sunday school teacher, or else I was the husband of one. And therefore, because God saw that I would believe, therefore he delivered me. Nonsense. Nonsense. There isn't a thing in you or me that could ever commend us unto God. Not one solitary thing. Now you say, preacher, how do you know? I'm going to show it to you. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah, chapter 1. And look with me now at verses 5 and 6. And here you have the condition of a sinner before the Lord, or the condition of every human being before the Lord saves him. This is what God says. Look at it. Isaiah 1, 5, and 6. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified or anointed with ointment. Now what do you have here? Want me to tell you? You have God looking upon the sinner and he sees that the head of the sinner is sick, the heart of the sinner is sick, the whole body of the sinner is sick. And when God looks upon that sinner, he sees that sinner to be nothing but a running, infectious, stinking, dirty sore. Now, what in the world is there in man to commend him to God? Nothing. And Jonah learned And every individual learns it also. That when the Lord deals with us, we are under the discretion of God as to whether or not there will be redemption or eternal corruption. Now you turn to Romans 9, will you? Romans chapter 9. And look with me at verse 15 through 18. Paul here is preaching this. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 15, Paul says, "For he, with regard to God, he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardened." Now there's God's discretion. Now, awakened sinner, I want to say this to you kindly. If you haven't done so, you better begin now. Ask the Lord not to harden you. Instead, ask the Lord to break you. To break you and save you. You see, this is what Jonah faced. He was in darkness, under God's wrath, unable to deliver himself, and also under the discretion of God as to whether or not the Lord would redeem him or leave him die. And Jonah here said, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. See, Jonah knew it. And Jonah is a picture of the feelings and the emotions and the situation and the conviction that a sinner undergoes as God brings that sinner down the road to Christ. This is why salvation is so great. Salvation is an experience with the Lord. And salvation here is a crisis. Jonah was in a crisis. How in the world am I going to get out of the belly of this fish? And when the Lord opens your heart and shows you that you're a sinner and you're under God's wrath, you're, as it were, like Jonah in the belly of the whale. How in the world am I going to get out? Well, all right. Now that brings us to the conflict between sense and faith. You see, you and I are born as creatures of sense. And when we're born again, God gives us faith. So that we become creatures of sense and faith. And there's a conflict there. Now let's look at sense for just a moment. Here is a sense that a sinner or a soul will feel and reason with while under conviction. In Jonah chapter 2, look with me if you will, in verse 2. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Now notice, here was his affliction. Now what was it? Jonah sensed this. He not only experienced it physically, but he sensed it in his own soul. And when God deals with the sinner, this is a sense that the sinner will experience in his own soul. And the sense is this, first of all, that individual has an affliction which overwhelms him. And if he listens to this sense of affliction, that's because affliction says, well, what's the use? What's the use? And you might as well go to hell and enjoy yourself. That's sense talking. And when the sinner begins to pray and God doesn't answer his prayer right away, and he doesn't because the Lord teaches us his sovereignty, then that individual says, well, what's the use to pray? God won't listen to me anyway. And so sense says, well, quit your prayer. Some of you in that category tonight? You better listen. Jonah was in affliction. And notice the affliction overwhelmed him because we find he was in the belly of hell. Now listen to that. He was in the belly of hell. Then the earth with her bars was about him forever. He was in a place whereby he knew that if he ever got out of it, it would be a miracle. And so his sense would say, well, what's the use? You might as well give up. And this is what sense does to the awakened sinner. And the awakened sinner faces it, and that's why an individual on the road to Christ, as the Lord begins to deal with him, that individual will go into what John Bunyan said, the shrew of despondency. And the sinner won't pray any longer. He said, well, there's no use. There's no use. There's no hope for me. It's for everybody else but for me. Well, no sense in me praying anymore. Then they're just giving it up. But you see, that's their sense talking. And it's wrong. And there's a conflict here. All right, the second thing about Jonah was this. Jonah knew it. That the action which resulted in the affliction that he was in came from God. And you know what sense does? Begins to blame God. Just like old Adam did, you know. And sense said, well now, why in the world did the Lord do this to me? Well, how come I have to go through this? As I had some folks tell me a number of years ago, shortly after I got saved, went down to preach a meeting, three or four of them came up to me and said, well, how come you got saved so quick? The Lord's been dealing with me for 5 years, and I'm still not saved. I said, no, the Lord hasn't been dealing with you that long. Well, they said, how can you tell? I said, they were actions. I said, you're still in rebellion. But now Jonah knew that God was dealing with him here. And we find that this action was attributed unto the Lord. Now you say, how do you know? Look at verse 2 again. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Then verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. You see, here's sense talking. Jonah, you might as well quit praying. God's not going to listen to you. He threw you out of his sight. You might as well die and go to hell. But that's all sense talking. And we find that this is what an individual faces. All right, but at the same time, Jonah was in anguish of soul. You see, even though he's facing these problems, he was in the anguish of his soul as it was manifested in his statement. Look at verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You see that? I remember the Lord. Now, here's his anguish of his soul. All right. Now, these are the things that some of you are facing. I know you are, because I've been down that route. And if you give in to that, I'll tell you right now, wander around a long time until you recognize, like Jonah, when you're in the anguish of your soul, you're going to have to remember God. Now let's look at the splendor of faith for just a moment. We find the first thing that happens was this. Look at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Now what do you remember? We find here that the splendor of faith caused Jonah, first of all, to pray. You know that song? Saved by grace, grace taught my soul to pray and made mine eyes o'erflow. 'Twas grace which has kept my brought me to this day, and it will not let me go. And you see, now look, if the Lord's dealing with you tonight, and only you and God know, I'm going to tell you this, you're a praying sinner. Now, you don't have to get on your knees to pray. You're praying in your heart. And I'm going to tell you this, you're going to be remembering certain things. And what is it? Jonah, first of all, was caused to pray. The second thing about Jonah was this. Jonah was cast upon the absolute inerrancy of God's Word. Now let us look in. You're going to be cast absolutely upon the inerrancy of God's Word. Well, now how do you know that? All right, look at verse 4. I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, why did he say that? Because we find that in verse 7, I remembered the Lord, my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now, what in the world do you have here? All right, Jonah was cast upon the absolute inerrancy of God's Word. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, let me show you. John chapter 6, verse 37. Quickly. Turn to it. My time is almost gone. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, you find here in this portion of the Word of God a great passage. Look at what it says. John 6, 37 and John 5, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Then in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All right, now let's stop right here. What do you have here? All right, now notice. Jonah was cast upon the absolute inerrancy of God's Word. Now, what does God's Word say? It tells us very clearly of the certainty of God's acceptance. Sinner, I read that verse to you to encourage you to do one thing. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, but don't stop there. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is God's Word. And my Lord is saying to you tonight, through me and through his word, sinner, here's the certainty of you being accepted with God. He'll not cast you out. The second thing is this. We find also not only will God accept you, we find that God will forgive you. Jonah learned that. He was cast upon the inerrancy of God's Word. Now you say, how do you know? Look at verse 7 of Jonah 2. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now what do you have here? Here's God's forgiveness. Jonah learned, and this is what faith teaches you. Not only are you certain that God will accept you, but you are cast upon the inerrancy of God's Word as it teaches you God's acceptance, God's forgiveness, God's accessibility, and God's reconcilability. You say God's accessibility? Yes. Jonah said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and he began to talk to the Lord in prayer. Now, what made him do it? Faith. Faith. Will you act tonight upon God's Word? Jonah did. You have to too. You're cast absolutely upon the inerrancy of God's Word, that God will accept you, God will forgive you, God will be reconciled to you, and that God will allow you into his presence. Even though you're a sinner in disobedience. Now listen to that. Let it soak in. And do like Jonah. And then notice. Jonah said these words twice. I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now why did he say that? Because in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where God praised his name. Keep that in mind. In the Old Testament, the temple was the place where God praised his name. What do we have today that's even better than the temple? You want me to tell you? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah said, my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. Sinner, call unto the Lord tonight. Your prayer will come into the ears of the Son of God. He'll hear you. You're like Jonah. All right, now notice the fourth thing, or the third thing. Because Jonah knew this, it caused him to pray. He was cast upon the absolute inerrancy of God's word. Then Jonah came with boldness unto the Lord. In verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Then verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. And it's right here that a lot of sinners, you know, they'll stumble and they say, well, how do I know God will listen to me? He's so holy and I'm so sinful. What does God's word tell you? You see, you're cast solely upon the inerrancy of God's word. And when Jonah was here, and we find that Jonah came with boldness unto the Lord. But now look at verse 8. And this is perhaps the most important aspect of this lesson. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, what in the world is this? All right. Listen now. There has to be the complete rejection of everything else. Now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right. You're cast upon the complete inerrancy of God's word. You've been caused to pray unto the Lord because of your condition. All right. Then you come with boldness. But you don't come with boldness as long as you observe lying vanities. And the lying vanity would be this. How do I know the Lord will hear me? How do I know I haven't sinned away my day of grace? Well, how do I know that God has saved me? The only record you have is God's word. You've got nothing else. And when you observe these lying vanities, which are holding you back from coming under the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness, even though it's trembling, you're forsaking your mercy. You say, preacher, what do you mean? All right. If the Lord's opened your heart tonight and shown you what a sinner you are, that's God's mercy. Now, he's doing it for the purpose of saving you. And if you're observing these lying vanities, and I know there's a lot of things that are stumbling your way, and you've even got some no-good so-called Christians or obstacles that are standing in your way, that's a lying vanity. Don't you observe them. Don't you look at anybody or anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do, you're observing lying vanities, and in so doing, you're forsaking your own mercy. And we find that Jonah completely rejected everything else. You see, he even had to reject his sense. You see, sense said to him, Jonah, what's the use? You're done for. You're the bird of the bars of the earth. I've got you forever. You're done for. Faith doesn't say that. Faith said this. I remembered the Lord in my prayer. Came in unto thee. You see, Jonah had to cast aside all these things. And then notice in verses 9 and 10. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now here's Jonah's faith. Look at it. Here he was, in the belly of the whale, crying unto the Lord God of heaven, and saying these words, and he was still there. Salvation is of the Lord, and I'm going to praise the Lord for thanksgiving, or with thanksgiving. And he was still in the Lord's day. How come he could say that? Want me to tell you? Faith. Faith. How do you know you're going to heaven tonight? You say, Pastor, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know him? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever touched him? Can you describe to me the color of his eyes? Or the tone of his voice? Well, of course you can. Well, how do you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you met him in faith. And faith made Christ a living reality to you. And this is what Jonah said. And you know what happened? And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And I'd like to close with this. The counterpart of this in the New Testament is simply Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, will you trust Christ tonight? Will you trust him? And then you take this home with you. Salvation comes instantaneously. And salvation is a revelation from the Lord.